Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I'm excited about this week. We've got fantastic readings from St. Paul's letter to the Romans and then some very challenging and difficult words from Jesus throughout the Gospels each day this week. You know, some of the most important teachings of our Lord are difficult to listen to. You know, they're called the hard sayings of Jesus. It's interesting. Jesus is the most loving human being that ever walked the planet, the God-man. No one loved as perfectly as Jesus loved. And so in his words and his deeds and his actions, he was the incarnation of divine love, of the purity of love. But Jesus will say things that are both tender. We'll hear him say things like, I'm with you always. You know, he forgives us. He has mercy toward us, that he's gentle and he's humble of heart toward us and toward all people. And it's part of a profound quality of Jesus's character, right? But at the same time, Jesus did things like he overturned tables. You know, he put together cords and he drove out the money changers in the temple. They were defiling the holy place, the temple of God. And Jesus had holy zeal. He had, you know, a zeal for righteousness, a zeal to cleanse the temple of defilement. And that's Jesus' war against sin. Jesus hates sin. He loves the sinner, but he hates sin. Sometimes people today don't like that phraseology, but it's absolutely true. Jesus hates sin. He came to put away sin. He came to destroy sin's power over the human race. He came to make war on Satan, who's the father of lies and who seduces the human race into disobedience to God. So our Lord is so loving that he's willing to tell the truth always, and he's willing to speak it in a way that we get it, whether it's through parables, whether it's just directly. For example, with the Pharisees, he was very hard. He cursed them. But it's important for us to pay attention not just to the words of Jesus that seem encouraging on the face of it and avoid those that seem difficult. So we're going to touch on some of those this week because I think they're very, very important, especially for the times we're living in. Because part of what Jesus is doing is he's telling us to count the cost. He does that over and over again and reminding us that first things come first in the kingdom of God. And the first thing for all of us is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love our neighbor as ourselves. That comes first, to honor God, to love God. And of course, we need to be reminded all the time that Jesus makes clear to us that the love language of heaven, of the kingdom, is obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. It's pretty simple and it's pretty direct. So today, a lot is being exposed in our culture today. The Christian community is being tested in our culture today because the culture at large is no longer living in what we called Christendom. It was a time when whole nations and countries were basically respected the values of God, the Ten Commandments, the things of God. Not that everybody lived them perfectly or that everybody even agreed with them all. But the whole way of life of the people was set up in such a way that those things were respected, those commands of God. Well, that's changed now. We're in a post-Christendom world. We're in a post-Christian world. John Paul II said that Christendom is dead. It's gone. And so what's emerging now is a whole new story about what it means to be human, a whole new set of values that go with that story, and they're shaping our culture. And guess what? Some of the things that Jesus commanded us to do, ways for us to believe and to live and how we're meant to walk and follow him, now the world doesn't like some of those things anymore. And they're considered hateful, they're considered intolerant, they're considered really almost unthinkable. And to believe some of the things that Jesus taught and the Catholic Church teaches from the point of view of many of the cultural elite, and ironically now, what's being exposed is even Catholics, even some people who would self-identify as Catholics are agreeing with the world that some of the teachings of Jesus and some of the teachings of the Church that have been with us from the beginning, right from the words of the mouth of our Lord, right from the words of the apostles themselves, are somehow now offensive. People find them offensive. They found them unloving. I just find this so ironic. I mean, love itself, Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God, came to a fallen world that is living with, as Paul will tell us this week, with darkened minds, and we're under the power of sin and death, and it's and our wills are weakened by the stain of original sin we're affected by it, and we're in a fallen world, a world that God created that's good, but also a world that's very screwed up and very confused. And so we have challenges within us, our flesh. We have challenges of the world around us. We have temptations of the devil and the spirits that are subject to him, that he assigns to tempt us and to lead us and to deceive us. That's the whole world we're living, and that's the biblical worldview. And then human beings, fallen human beings, basically put God in the dock. They judge some of Jesus' teaching and the teaching of the apostles to be out of bounds, to be offensive, to be wrong, to be hateful. They stand in judgment over the Lord himself and saying that the teaching of Jesus somehow, I mean, they don't name it too often. They wouldn't say that about Jesus, but essentially they reject his teaching. So Jesus said, if you reject his teaching, you reject him. And they reject it as unloving. Now that is really ironic. Jesus is the quintessence of love. He is the definition of love. Jesus never said a word that wasn't loving. He never said a word that wasn't loving. He is love itself in the flesh. And he demonstrated it perfectly by dying on a cross, by shedding his blood to cleanse us from the stain of sin, to make it possible for us to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit so we could become a new creation, so that we could share in his life and his light. What is the light of Christ? The light of Christ is a revelation of, he reveals the true nature of who God is. But the light he brings, friends, is truth. The truth about God, the truth about man, the truth about sin. Jesus never lied to us. The only way to true love, to the fullness of love, to live in love, is to live in the truth. St. John Paul II said, quoting St. Edith Stein, there's no love without the truth, and there's no truth without love. Love is directed to willing the good of the other as other. Willing the good is an objective truth. It's a reality. What is human goodness? What does it mean to be good? How do we know? Look to God. Jesus said, no one but God is good. I've come to show you who God is. I've come to show you what goodness is. And so for a baptized person to sort of put God in the dock, that is to find Jesus' teaching outdated, unloving, unacceptable, offensive, is the height of pride and arrogance. It's human pride. I mean, today people are celebrating like, I'm just so loving. Because I believe these things, I'm a special person. I'm so virtuous and I'm kind. And the reality is pride is blinding us from seeing and believing and submitting and yielding ourselves to the truth that comes from God. So Paul wants to touch on that this week. So will the teaching of Jesus. And Jesus is unbending on these things. And that's what we're going to see. He's absolutely unbending. Now, Jesus is merciful and kind, but he expects us when we fall. I mean, seven times a day, we can stand up. 70 times, 7 times a day, we can stand up and seek God's forgiveness. If it's genuine from the heart, and he'll forgive us. His basic disposition toward us is radical love and mercy, expressed in mercy and kindness and compassion. But he's not kind and compassionate toward people who insist in standing in sin, who insist on rejecting his teaching. He knows what it means when people do that. He knows what it's going to do to them. And he's not going to play games and affirm in people what he knows will destroy them literally and put them at odds with the creator of the universe. So here's St. Paul chapter 4 now talking to us about Abraham, our father in faith. And Abraham gives us clarity about what it means to be to say yes to God, how to be in right relationship with God, how to be justified, justification through faith. Brothers and sisters, Abraham did not doubt God's promise in unbelief. When God promised to Abraham in the book of Genesis, he promised that he would make him a father of great nation. And Abraham believed and trusted God's word, despite the fact that he was beyond the age of being able to sire children. His wife was barren, and she was also beyond the age, typically, of being able to bear children. So God's word to Abraham confounded him, confounded his mind. Like, how could this be? But instead of relying on his own understanding, Abraham believed God. He trusted God. Not just that he didn't just think in his mind, okay, I believe this. He then ordered his whole life to obeying the direction and the journey God was going to send him on. He left everything, his whole livelihood, the whole clan he had established and the whole life they had together. He called him to pick things up and to follow him to a land of promise. He didn't know where it was. People grumbled and complained, but he trusted God. He became a nomad of faith. That's what pleases God, and that's the basis of justification. That's how we become justified, believing God. Now, he'll go on. Paul goes on and says, rather, Abraham was empowered by faith and gave glory to God and was fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able to do. This is so important, friends, and this comes right down to each and every one of our lives. God has given us many, many promises in the scriptures. I mean, there's thousands of them in here. And it's important for us to lay hold of those promises. I'm in the midst of writing a booklet right now called Unfailing Promises, really about the unfailing promises of God. Because we need to lay hold of those promises and agree with God's goodness and God's faithfulness and that he is going to keep his word. He's not only going to keep his word, God is not a man that he should lie, Scripture says, but he has all the power to fulfill every single promise. So he's good and he's powerful and he's true and he's loving, and these promises merit our total radical response. Our total radical response. So the promises that he's given us, I'm with you always till the end of the age. He'll work good in every circumstance, difficult circumstance for those who love him. We can find ourselves in difficult circumstances or things don't go our way and we start grumbling, we start complaining. The devil likes to whisper in our ear, you know, this is all phony. God's not going to be faithful to you. You've been forgotten. You've been left out. You might as well quit. You might as well walk away. All these kinds of temptations come to us, and it's all about doubting God's promises and his goodness and his ability to do it. So Paul goes on describing Abraham. He said, that is why it was credited to him, that is to Abraham, as righteousness. But it was not for him alone that it was written, that it was credited to him. It was also for us, to whom it will be credited, who believe in the one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over for our transgressions and was raised for our justification. So the analogy here that Paul is setting up is just as Abraham was brought into right relationship with God, not by his deeds or something he won on his own merit, but he believed God. He believed the impossible, really. And he believed later that God would raise Isaac. If he obeyed God and killed Isaac, his son, that he would raise him from the dead. Abraham trusted God radically. Now, Paul is making the analogy, so it is for us. How does justification come? How do we get into right relationship with God? That happens when we believe God's word in Jesus Christ, his son, that he died for our sins, that he was raised from the dead for our justification, that it's Jesus's deeds, it's Jesus's life, person, teaching, death, resurrection, that makes it possible for us to be in right relationship with the Father. And faith says, I accept that. I surrender my life to it. I entrust everything, my mind, my heart, my will, to believing in this, and I bring my life under the lordship of Jesus. That puts us in right relationship with God. That's called faith. Friends, hope you can join me tomorrow. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.